I just kind of had a devotional thought from my own reading. I'm reading through Daniel right now, and I just had some things in there I thought was kind of interesting, so I just wanted to combine playing outside and having kind of a shorter devotion tonight. So if you guys have a Bible, you can open it up to Daniel chapter 1. If you don't have one, that's okay. I'll read the verses to you. This will be like one of the only times I don't make you guys get a Bible, so enjoy it. Daniel 1, verse 9. So there was a, I guess I'll wait till everybody gets there. All these conversations. Alright, so a couple years ago, there was a phrase that I used quite a bit. I think I taught on it a couple times in here. It was, bloom where you are planted. Does anybody remember talking about that phrase? Or have anybody ever heard that phrase? Bloom where you're planted. Just like wherever you find yourself in a good situation or a bad situation, you know, just like follow God, trust God, do your best. You know, bloom where you're planted. And so Daniel is like a really, I just saw something in here. I've heard all the stories of Daniel. You guys know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You guys know the story of Daniel in the lion's den. You know the story maybe of the dream of the, you know, the idol or whatever. And so I know all the stories about Daniel, but just reading through it gave me a little bit of a different perspective on one aspect of Daniel blooming where he's planted. So at the beginning of the book of Daniel in chapter 1, like the very first verse says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And so basically they come in, they take over Jerusalem, and Daniel and, you know, all of his friends and family and everybody lives there. And he gets taken captive, him and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and, you know, a bunch of other people, not just those four. But they all get taken captive, and it doesn't really say exactly what happens to the rest of their family. But he was probably roughly your guys' age, somewhere in his teenage years. Maybe as early as, you know, his early 20s, but most likely he was a teenager at the time. And potentially, you know, his whole family may have been killed or at least enslaved. And he gets taken, and they raise him up and they try to train him up to be, you know, kind of a diplomat type of situation. But anyways, in verse 9, it says, now God had brought David into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And so basically the guy that was in charge of them, he had found favor with this guy, and it was this whole deal where, and I talked about this a couple months ago, we did a little, few weeks on, Daniel, and so I'm not gonna rehash all of that, but basically even though he's been taken captive, and even though we don't know what happened to his family, but it wasn't a good situation, and he was a teenage boy, and, he blooms where he was planted. He was put in a really, really bad, situation. But yet, still, he trusts God, he follows God. It says in verse 8 that he purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. And so he finds favor with the guy who's in charge of him. And this guy's like, fine, I'll let you guys for 10 days, you can eat, you know, what you guys want, the vegetables and stuff. And then, we'll see after 10 days if you guys are in better shape or the guys who that we feed the king's food to. And after 10 days, it was Daniel and his friends. And so he said, okay, you guys can eat whatever you want. Because this guy's fear was like, well, Daniel, I like you and all, and I don't really care what you eat, but the king says you have to do it this way. And if, you know, when it's time for me to present you guys to the king, if you guys look sickly and weak and you know, then that's going to be on, he's going to kill me for that. And so, you know, we'll see how it goes. And so ultimately Daniel was able to, him and his friends were able to do, what they had purpose in their heart to do. But so even in that situation, he finds favor with this guy that's in charge of him. But then the story goes on in chapter 2 and chapter 3. The Nebuchadnezzar dreams a dream, and if you guys remember the story, he can't remember the dream, and he also wants to know what the dream means, and so he calls his magicians and all his people in, and he's like, tell me what my dream was, and they're like, well, we'll interpret it for you, just tell us what the dream was, and we'll tell you what it means, and he's like, no, I don't remember the dream, I want you to tell me what I dreamed, and I want you to tell me what it meant, and they're like, nobody in the world can do that, that's impossible. And, so he makes this decree where he's going to kill all of them and, them and, you know, Daniel and all of his friends and stuff. So Daniel finds out about this and he's like, well, hey, can you, he talks to this prince of the eunuchs, can you go to the king and tell and find out why is he wanting to kill all of us? And so when he finds out, he prays to God and he asks God to like give him the dream and the interpretation of the dream. So he goes before Nebuchadnezzar and look at, if you have your Bible, Daniel 2:46. So he tells Nebuchadnezzar what the dream was. He tells him what the interpretation of the dream was. And the result of that in verse 46 of chapter 2 says, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel. I think we can read that and just kind of skip over that. Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful king in the world at that time. So think about whoever the most powerful ruler today is falling down. Okay. Falling down and worshiping at somebody's feet because of what they've done. Like this is a huge verse that we kind of just skim over. And then it says, in which Daniel was not seeking, the worship. But he worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king and said, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. And so this wicked king Nebuchadnezzar, who is not a good guy. He's not a God-fearing guy until now. And he says, your God is a God of gods. This was the guy who, I mean, Babylon is known as, wicked and against everything that God stands for. But yet Daniel, because of his just faithfulness and his obedience to God, and he seeks God about this dream, and now he's got the king who's like, man, your God is the best of all the gods, and, you know, whatever you want, you can have it. And so he finds favor with King Nebuchadnezzar, and then if you go down to chapter 5, we're not going to read all of it, but verse 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Okay, so Belshazzar is the son of Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar is no longer the king. He's died. And Belshazzar, his son, has taken over. So think about that if you're in Daniel's position. Okay, he's been a slave and been brought in, and he's kind of risen up through the ranks because of he keeps finding favor. Everybody that's in charge of him is like, there's something about Daniel, and so he gets promoted and he gets favor with all these different people, all the way up to where he's kind of right under the king. Then the king dies, and so when the rulership changes, sometimes they kill off people, sometimes. People don't stay in charge, but this guy is now in charge, and he's him and his friends are all getting drunk, and he says, bring in those vessels from the temple of the Israelites, and we're going to drink out of those. And just like making a mockery of really all things, holy. Like, I mean, just the attitude towards God and the things of God and the holiness of God to just think, oh, we're already drunk, and we're just going to get drunk or drinking out of the things from the Jews' temple, and so he gets punished for this. But I'm not going to read the whole thing. But in verse 5, it says, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster on the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. So this hand just comes out of nowhere and writes on the wall. They're trying to figure out, what does this handwriting mean? What's the interpretation of it? And fast forward to verse 17, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. So he goes on, he does the whole interpretation thing. And then in verse 29, then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So, so he gets promoted now by Nebuchadnezzar's son, into, the position of third, in the kingdom. And that very night, the night he gets promoted, that king gets killed. So again, he's now the guy, he's risen kind of up, found favor with this guy. He did what God told him to do, which was interpret this handwriting. And now this guy's dead. And now a third king comes in, and it's Darius. And so chapter 6, this is Daniel in the lion's den. Basically, in here, the first several verses, these guys that are kind of a little bit under Daniel, they get jealous of Daniel's position. And they're like, man, this isn't right. This guy's a Jew. Like, you know, we don't like what he's, you know, what he's doing. And the fact that the kings always love this guy, you know, like if you guys have ever been around somebody that like just seems like everything they do just works out great. All the teachers love them and all this stuff. You just kind of get angry. You're like, it's not fair that this person's getting all the love. So these guys were jealous basically of Daniel and the way that he was, finding favor with all these different kings. So they kind of tricked the king to come up with a decree that you're not allowed to pray to any god except for the king for 30 days. But look at verse 10. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. Okay, so it wasn't like, you know, Daniel didn't know this was happening and he just happened to get caught praying to God. No, it specifically says Daniel knew exactly what the decree was. He knew exactly what the law was. And it says that he went into his house and and his windows being open to his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He's like, you guys can make whatever rules you want, whatever laws you want. What has gotten me to the point that I'm at now is seeking God's counsel in everything in my life. Following the Lord no matter what. That's what's gotten me where I am. I don't really care if the rules have changed and I'm not supposed to do that anymore. I'm going to keep doing that. And so they go and they tell the king, hey, somebody's broken the law. It's Daniel. And the king is like upset about this. He's like, I love Daniel. I don't want to throw Daniel in the lion's den, but the decree is the decree. And so I got to do what I got to do. And so anyways, he doesn't get eaten obviously by the lions. He makes it through the night. God protects him. They end up throwing those other guys into the lion's den. But the thing that I just think is cool that really the part that I've never noticed before is just, no matter where the situation Daniel found himself in, I mean, we think about Daniel and it's like, you know, he's kind of a mighty man of God of the Old Testament. And, really he was, I mean, he had a lot of, prominence and a lot of authority throughout his life, but he was really found himself in a lot of like crappy situations. It was only because God blessed him and everything that he did that he was able to go through all those things. So I just kind of wanted to, bye, Oliver. I just want to kind of point out to you guys that, you know, no matter where we find ourselves, like whatever bad situation we find ourselves in, or if it's unfair, or we, you know, we have a teacher that we think is too hard on us, or a coach that does things that, you know, we don't like, or our parents don't, you know, treat us the way we want to be treated, or, you know, we have drama within our friend group and, you know, so-and-so is acting such and such a way and they shouldn't be doing that. It doesn't really matter what the external circumstances are that are going on in our life. Like, it's never going to be perfect. You know, you're going to get through that difficult situation that you're in now, and then something else is going to be right around the corner. And so life is never perfect. It never goes exactly the way that you want it to go. So just bloom where you're planted, wherever God has you, whatever situation you find yourself in. God still has a way to navigate you through that, and he can still bless you and other people around you through bad situations if we're just be a person of integrity, do the right thing all the time. You know, you can't control what everybody else is doing, but you can control what you do. So be a person of integrity, be a person that follows the Lord, be faithful, you know, whether things are going good or things are going bad, you know, be in prayer, be in your work, be in the Word, you know, like do the things that you know you're supposed to do, regardless of what it seems like on the outside, because we never know what God is working on behind the scenes in our life. I mean, I don't know how many years it was from the time Daniel was taken captive till the time he, you know, ascended up with Nebuchadnezzar, and then how long till, you know, after Belshazzar took over. I don't know over what period of time all this stuff happened, but this is like years and years and maybe decades and decades. And, you know, so we see the high points where he's put in these positions of prominence, but that's not, Daniel's whole life was not in a position of prominence. He was, you know, in a bad spot several different times, but no matter where he found himself, God just kept blessing this guy because he just kept being faithful and he kept seeking God. Even when he knew, hey, the law is you're going to get thrown in the lion's den if you pray to God. And he's like, well, I know that's what the law says, but the Lord says I should pray to him anyways. And so he does. And so I just thought it was cool where he's just blooming wherever he's planted. So that was just something I've been reading over the last few days and thinking about. So hopefully it's encouraging to you guys. We're 2 minutes over. Anybody have any questions or comments?